What lessons did Paul learn personally about adversity as a result of what he suffered?
Welcome to In Touch, the teaching ministry of Charles Stanley. Today, Dr. Stanley continues explaining the pathway to advancing through adversity. So far, we've learned that suffering is God's catalyst for building character. You may be thinking, that sounds good, but show me someone who's suffered like I have and is happy about it. Show me someone who is really hurting and can still praise God. Well, stay tuned. Today, Dr. Stanley shares the story of a man who endured intense pain, yet was undefeated by his circumstances. That man was the Apostle Paul. Now, Paul made many wonderful discoveries about adversity that enabled him to not merely survive, but to glory in his difficulties and emerge victorious. So, what was Paul's secret? Listen now as Dr. Stanley explains.
Well, we're advancing through adversity, and I've preached so many sermons on this subject. Some of you are wondering if we're going backwards, but not really. If you'll turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and today I want to do something a little different. We have referred to this passage, but primarily what we've been doing is talking about those reasons or the purposes for which God allows adversity into our life. And so we've just sort of read this passage a couple of times or so, but not really dealt with what Paul is saying. So today what I'd like to do is I would like to take these verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and what I want us to do is I want us to see what Paul learned about adversity according to what he says in verses 7 through 10. So, if you'll begin reading with me in verse 7, Paul says, "Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this," he says, "I entreated the Lord three times that he might depart from me. And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you. My power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weakness, that the power of Christ may dwell in me.' Therefore," he says, "I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, distresses, persecutions, difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Now, what I want us to do, first of all, here is to look at the adversity with which Paul himself suffered. And if you'll notice what he says here when he says in verse 7, "To keep him from exalting himself, there was given to him a thorn in the flesh." Now, the word thorn here in the Greek is pronounced just like you and I would pronounce a seafood. That is scallops. That's really what that word is in the Greek. It is the only time it is used in the New Testament. Now, there are other times in which the word thorn is used, but not this one. This word thorn means a sharp, pointed stake. What the implication here is this isn't some little rose bush thorn about a half inch long. This is a very, very intense, painful thing that Paul is suffering when he calls it here a thorn in the flesh. Now, there are those people who say, well, this had nothing to do with anything physical. This was something else. This was Paul's persecution and his trials and heartaches and his burdens. Well, let me show you why I don't believe that's true. Turn to Philippians, if you will. And if you'll turn to this very familiar chapter, the third chapter of Philippians, if Paul's suffering in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 had been persecution, heartache, and suffering that were dealt to him, as is mentioned in this long list in 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians, I don't believe he would ever have said this. In Philippians chapter 3, he said, verse 7, "Whatever things were gained to me, those things I've counted as loss for the sake of Christ." Then he said, "I've counted everything loss for the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord." He says, the most important thing to me is to know Christ. Then he says in verse 10, elaborating on that, "that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings." Listen, was Jesus Christ ever sick? No, he was not. So what was it that Paul said when he said, "I want to know the fellowship of his sufferings being conformed to his death"? Paul was referring to those periods of suffering that Jesus experienced as a result of the tribulations and trials that came as a result of his obedience to God as the Messiah. So I believe we cannot say that Paul's thorn in the flesh, it was not the Pharisees, it was not the Sadducees, it wasn't periods of suffering and heartache for preaching the gospel. He says, in fact, did not he say he counted himself blessed among men, unworthy to share in the persecution and the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ? He says, I'm unworthy of it. He says, but I want to know him in the fellowship of that, because Paul understood that to really know Jesus Christ, we must understand him in light not only of his blessings, but the sufferings he experienced. So I don't believe Paul was referring to something here that referred to tribulations and trials, but I believe there's something far more intimate. I believe he's talking about a physical situation in his particular life. For example, if it had been some tremendous temptation that Paul couldn't overcome, then why would Paul have written in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, when he said, no temptation has taken you but such as is common to man, but God is able, who will also make a way to escape that you can bear it. Not only that, he talked about in Romans 6, 7, 8, whatever the situation was facing us when it came to temptations and trials of that sort, he talked about the victory that he found in Jesus Christ. He says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And so he gives us those chapters there of tremendous trial, and then that eighth chapter of tremendous victory. I believe the vast weight of the evidence lies the fact that Paul was suffering some physical infirmity, he says, that tortured him like a stake driven into his body, and he felt like somebody was beating him all over his body. And remember this, this is God's chosen vessel. This is God's great missionary. This is God's great pioneer of the gospel. He is the man that God intended to shake the whole world of his day with the preaching of the gospel, and yet he allowed him to suffer tremendous pain, tremendous heartache, tremendous burden, tremendous physical suffering, and in spite of that, God used him in the most unusual fashion. So I want to say, if you want a quick fix, and you just say, all you've got to do is just pray and believe God, then you'll get it all taken care of. You're going to have a real problem dealing with the Apostle Paul, whom the Scripture does not give us any indication was ever relieved or released of this particular adversity which he suffered. Now, what I'd like for us to do, and I want you to get your pencil and paper out now. What I want us to do is I want us to look at these verses in the light of what we've just shared and answer this simple question. What lessons did Paul learn personally about adversity as a result of what he suffered? Listen, he not only sat in a prison and was in prison in Jerusalem, Caesarea, Rome, he still had this adversity with him. Traveling, preaching the gospel, he still had it with him. Here was a man who suffered unbelievably. You don't hear him sitting in a prison saying, I wish y'all would pray for me. I'm suffering. I don't know why God does these things to me. I don't know why the Lord allows Satan to treat me this way. What do you hear out of this man? Victory, triumph. He learned something in adversity, and 2,000 years later, when we want to learn how to respond to adversity, where do we go? But to the man who endured it until God showed him how to live victorious in, through, over, and along with his adversity. So, pencil and paper, and may I say to you, one of the best things you could do if you take it on a piece of paper, maybe later on, somewhere in the back of your Bible, and everybody has one of those or two of those clean sheets, if you'd write these 20 things down somewhere in your Bible, more than likely, when you get to refer to them, and you may need to refer to them in an emergency, you'll know where they are. And secondly, you're dealing with somebody who doesn't want to be saved. And the reason they don't want to be saved is because they're hurting so much. They want you to help them in their hurts. Don't try to tell them how to be saved. You can just flip back over the back part of your Bible. And as God shows you what their adversity is and what they're going through, you can begin to give them some encouraging words. And then once they begin to listen to your encouragement, then you can lead them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and bring them into the right relationship with Him that they need. So don't just listen, jot it on a piece of paper, toss it away somewhere. Get it down in something that I trust that you will not lose. The Word of God, which belongs to you. All right, number one. We're going to move right through these, not going to comment much on them because we have discussed some of them to some degree, and we'll discuss the rest of them later on. Number one, what is one of the first lessons that Paul learned? One of the first lessons that Paul learned was there is a divine purpose behind all adversity. He said, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself. Paul knew there was a divine reason behind his adversity. He says there is a reason behind it. Number two, he learned that God may reveal the reason for that adversity. He does not always do, but he says that for him, it was because God wanted to protect him from exalting himself. So God saw fit to show Paul the reason for his adversity, though he may not always do that. Now, that does not mean that the first time Paul prayed and said, Lord, why am I suffering like this, Paul, that God said, Paul, here's the reason you're suffering. You'll notice he says he prayed three times. And more than likely, I believe it was after the third time or that third season of prayer that God showed Paul why he was suffering. He prayed once for God to release him, and he didn't. Twice that God would remove it, and he didn't. The third time God would remove it, and it did not. And I believe after the third time that Paul had an experience with Jesus Christ whereby he understood what the reason for that adversity was. And I think you and I need to ask, why is this in my life and why am I suffering this? And there's nothing wrong with asking that. Don't judge yourself or condemn yourself for asking why. Number three, adversity, Paul learned, can be a gift from God. Notice how he says it. He says, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, he says, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given to me. When Paul got through, when he passed through the trauma of it all, he began to see it as a gift from God. Now, the messenger was Satan. He says, but he saw it. A messenger, he says, of Satan to buffet him. He says, but there was given to him, a very painful experience that he had to suffer, but it was given to him to protect him, to keep him from exalting himself, lest God put him on the shelf as a useless servant because of the pride in his life. The fourth thing that Paul learned about adversity is this, that adversity, even though it's from God, can be very, very painful. Thorn, buffeted, those two words indicate something of the intensity with which Paul suffered. Well, what would you and I think? You and I would think the same thing Paul thought. And that is, that more than likely, Lord, here you've called me to preach the gospel, and you've given me, as he said, these surpassing revelations that you've never given to anybody else in the world. You've given me all this truth, and here I am lying out, stretched out, don't have the energy to get up and put one foot in front of the other, and I'm itching to preach the gospel. There are multitudes of people out there who've never heard the gospel, and God, here I am lying, stretched out, can't do a thing. God, where are you? Now, you think that upset God? That didn't upset God. That's what you and I would have said, Lord. What in the world's going on? You called me to preach the gospel. You've given me all this truth. And here I am, so absolutely drained of energy, throbbing headache. My body feels like somebody's beating me up. I can't move. I'm absolutely useless to you. Paul learned something about adversity, and he certainly learned that he wasn't useless before God. So it can be very painful. Number five, Paul learned that Satan can be the agent by which adversity comes. Listen to what he said. He says, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan. Now, just because it comes in a very difficult fashion or in a very grievous fashion doesn't mean that God had nothing to do with it. And all you have to do is to turn to the book of Job and read the first chapter. God and Satan had a conversation about Job. You can't remove God from the adversity with which Job suffered. And you see, I want to say this again because there's so many people who feel like that God has nothing to do with any pain, any suffering, any troubles, any heartaches, any of that, that life's supposed to be smooth if God is in it. It just doesn't match up with Scripture to believe that. Now, the agent can be somebody in your family, can be somebody you work with, whatever it might be. But Satan knows how to stir up all kind of things, but God knows how to take advantage of every one of those situations. All right, number six, he learned the lesson that God sends adversities to help, never to hinder us. Now you say, well, how in the world could that help Paul? Well, let me ask you a question. Can't you figure that out already? 2,000 years later, who are we talking about? Paul. What are we talking about? His adversity. When we want help and comfort and assurance and strength, where do we turn? We turn to the Apostle Paul. Paul learned that adversity is never sent in order to hurt us, but always to help us. And even when he was hurting in the midst of it all, he knew that God was doing something tremendous in his life. And we have to see it from Paul's perspective. God doesn't send it to hurt. God always sends it to help. Now, you and I would have to face the fact, is it not true that sometimes when God's worked in your life and my life, and he's reached way down inside of us to pull out old roots of bitterness or resentment or attitudes that shouldn't be there, that they hurt every inch he pulled, they hurt all the way out, and we cried and we wept and we kicked and we screamed and we hollered and we bellyached before God and we fumed and we fussed and he kept on pulling, and finally we said, hallelujah, thank you, Lord. God knows exactly what it takes. So you see, Paul learned that God never sent it to hurt, but always to help. The next thing, number seven, to keep you in line there, the seventh thing is that God never scolds us for praying for release from adversity. He never scolds us. Listen to what he said. He said, verse 8, concerning this, I entreated the Lord three times that the adversity might depart from me. God didn't say, Paul, shame on you. Can't take it, can you? Why are you asking me to release this from you? You're my example. You're my pioneer missionary. You're my evangelist. Shame on you for praying for me to release this. God didn't scold him for that. And let me tell you something. I want you to remember this. You remember when Jesus Christ was in the Garden of Gethsemane and crying out to the Father. He says, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. He didn't want to be separated from his Father. Remember this, that in eternity past, which is an immeasurable time, Jesus Christ and God the Father had always been in a oneness of relationship. And now he is about to be separated from the Father at the cross in order to suffer for your sins and my sins. And what is he doing? He's crying out to the Father. And the Bible doesn't say that he just gently and very primly walked over and knelt down before the Heavenly Father and folded his hands and said, Father, that's not what he did. The Bible says he sweated. He sweated as if it were drops of blood in anguish, in turmoil. Jesus was in the tribulation, the trial, and the suffering of being separated from one with whom he had never been separated in eternity past. I'm saying all that to say this to you. When adversity comes, don't feel bad if you say, God, please take it away. You don't have to feel guilty for that. He may take it away in 24 hours, 24 minutes, 24 seconds, or he may never take it away. But I want to show you something. You don't have to feel guilty for asking God to take it away. And let me show you why. When Paul said, Lord, take it away, that's what he was saying in this passage, take it away. Verse 9 says that God's response to him was not, Paul, aren't you ashamed? But he said to him, my grace is sufficient. What a loving answer to a prayer of desperation. Take it away. He said, my grace is sufficient. Number 8, Paul learned that God will comfort us in our adversity. Listen to what he said. Crying out to the Lord, he says, this thorn in my flesh, buffeting, being beaten as if it were my body was tossed here and there by fisticuffs, he says in verse 8, he said to me, my grace is sufficient to you, sufficient for you. What did he learn? That even in the midst, listen, watch this, not after he had taken the adversity away, but that God would sufficiently and adequately comfort even in the midst of his most trying times. Now, I believe that one of the reasons the Bible says that Paul prayed three times is that he beseeched the Lord more than likely at those times when he had the most severe attacks, whatever it was, the most severe attacks, he went into a period of tremendous prayer. And the implication here is, in this particular passage, when it says, to keep me from exalting myself, when he says, given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, the implication of that passage is, he was continuously being buffeted. That is continuous pain, or it was a reoccurring thing. One of those two things, either one could be implied in the way that's written. So he says it was either a reoccurring thing or it was continuous. And I believe probably that the intensity of it was reoccurring because he says three times he pleaded for release and liberty from it. All right? Then the Scripture tells us here, I believe, what Paul learned, and that is he not only would comfort us, but number nine, we are never alone in our adversity. Now, here's a beautiful phrase I want you to notice. We're never alone in our adversity. He said when he prayed for God to release him, the Scripture says that God said, my grace is sufficient. Immediately, instantaneously, he knew he was in the presence of God. We're never alone in adversity. And let me show you something beautiful here. Let's keep reading that verse. He says, most gladly, therefore, I will boast about my weaknesses that the power of Christ may dwell in me. When he uses that phrase, may dwell in me, he uses a phrase which means, watch this, which means to overshadow him. He says, the grace of God, the power of God overshadowed him. It's like the Shekinah glory that came down and overshadowed the tabernacle, indicating that God's presence was there. He says, in these moments of great, intense pain, he said, it's like the power of God just comes down and overshadows me, dwells in me, dwells upon me, like a great canopy of God's protection and love and grace, just covering me through these times of great turmoil and great suffering and great pain. He says, the presence of God, in the midst of adversity, he says, I learned in its most intense moments, when it was not quite so intense, he says, I lived under the shadow of the living God. I lived under the canopy of God's great grace. It just overshadowed me all the time. And my friend, when you and I are aware of the presence of God, isn't it amazing what we can endure?
Even in the most painful, trying circumstances, God is always with you. The Apostle Paul endured numerous hardships because he realized that he never suffered alone. And that's just one of the foundational lessons Paul learned as a result of his suffering. Tomorrow on In Touch, Dr. Stanley continues this theme with more of Paul's insights that prove essential to advancing through adversity. The Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. So it's important to saturate your mind with the uplifting and encouraging truths of Scripture. Once we make God's Word a part of our regular thinking, then we're in a position to see God bring about change in our life. But perhaps you have trouble understanding how the Bible relates to your daily life. If that's your dilemma, then you'll be interested in our free monthly publication, the In Touch magazine. Within the pages of this magazine, you'll find informative and instructive articles by Dr. Charles Stanley that will challenge your thinking. In addition, you'll find a daily devotional feature that will help you apply scriptural principles to every situation you encounter. For your free subscription, ask for the In Touch magazine when you write. Our address is In Touch, in care of Far East Broadcasting Company, MPO Box 88, Seoul, 121707, Korea. Once again, that's In Touch, in care of Far East Broadcasting Company, MPO Box 88, Seoul, 121707, Korea. Or visit us online at intouch.org. You can hear an encore presentation of today's radio message on Real Audio. And you can take a look at the 1999 In Touch calendar in the Holiday Gift Shop. This calendar features Dr. Stanley's black and white photographs and scriptures to meditate on throughout the year. Our internet address again is intouch.org. Though you may be suffering intensely, this series is revealing that victory is within your grasp. Learn from the struggles of the Apostle Paul and take a giant step toward advancing through adversity. Dr. Stanley shares more of Paul's insights tomorrow here on In Touch. Touching the world with a passion for God and compassion for people. The teaching of Charles Stanley is a presentation of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia, USA.